Oh, now we have listeners. Hey guys, I'm Zach.
And I'm Liz.
And this is
My Favorite Burger.
Was that good?
We're working on it.
How's your weekend been?
Boring. I think one by one, all my friends are getting coronavirus, COVID-19, Omicron, whatever. How many more names can we make for this stupid thing? I do like how in the very beginning of everything, everyone was like coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic virus. Yeah. Like no one knew what to call it, so they called it like everything.
Totally.
Now we're just like COVID. Well, and so what? So my parents went to the Erie Canal. What's the other canal? Panama Canal.
That's so much less eerie. Yeah.
Yes. So they went to the Panama Canal and they went to Colombia and they did like a whole cruise.
Oh, cool.
And my dad got sick and they like made a huge weird deal about it. And like the captain of the ship like came and visited him in his room and like had them do what we now know is the COVID test. And this was December 19.
Oh, wow.
My dad was like, I guess this is like a weird like flu test that they do or whatever
it
was.
I guess in Panama, we stick these things up our noses. Tickle the brain.
Right. And he just thought that was just like what they do, but it wasn't COVID. So after that, they like were like, you're fine, and ignored him.
Well, that's good. On with the cruise.
You're fine. Everyone can catch what you have.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like everyone on the like COVID was spreading through the ship.
Exactly.
Oh God.
That's pretty eerie, huh?
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so eerie when it started spreading.
Yeah. But they loved that trip.
That's awesome. A man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Yeah. You went on all those European river cruises.
I went on a couple. Yeah, I went to Germany and Austria on one, and then on one that went to Paris.
What's the Paris one?
Just the Seine? Yeah, just the Seine River. Like, you go to Paris, and you chill in Paris. No, you start in Paris, and then you, like, cruise, like, along a loop through, I guess, the surroundings of Paris, and you end up back in Paris.
Oh, okay. Remember when you took a picture of Camilla Alves, Matthew McConaughey's wife, in the airport in Texas and she was pregnant?
Thank you so much for bringing that up. I feel like you're the only person on earth who remembers that I had that because I don't have the photo anymore. First of all, if I still had the photo, you can't even tell it's them. But second of all, I took the first photo of Matthew McConaughey's pregnant wife.
She was immediately who she was, and I was like, oh my God, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
I think about that photo often, actually.
That was crazy. It was Father's Day weekend. It must have been 2012, because that's when we worked together, I think.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I was behind someone in line, in regular people line at the airport. And there was no security, no paparazzi, except for me. Stay tuned. everything was normal except when I got up to the person who was checking our IDs and our tickets, she was so honored to meet the man in front of me. She was like, Matthew, it is such an honor to take your ticket and happy Father's Day. And she kind of said it with a wink. And I looked to the woman next to this Matthew guy who she was so honored to ticket check, and she looked pregnant, and I was like, oh yeah. I guess she was winking because like maybe this is like this couple's first Father's Day, right? But why would she be so honored to meet Matthew? So then this guy turns to the side and he has like Matthew McConaughey's face. And so I like immediately snapped into paparazzi mode and I chased them down. I walked behind them because he happened to already be in front of me. And they went into like one of those little airport shops, like where you buy postcards and toothpaste.
Hudson News.
Yeah, like Hudson News. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I picked up like a bunch of postcards, like a card deck hand of postcards. But I was holding my phone. My phone was in the mix of the postcards. Like, it was just a postcard. I wasn't taking a picture.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Oh, I'm picturing you cutting like a hole in a newspaper. Like,
yeah, I was making sure like the camera part of my phone was like peeking through two of the postcards. And so I very carefully, I wanted to wait till his wife kind of turned to the side and he turned to the side so we could see baby bump and Matthew McConaughey face. And so I waited for the perfect moment, made it look like I was sorting through postcards, and I finally go to press the camera button to take the perfect paparazzi photo, and my phone is on loud, and so it goes, and Matthew McConaughey and his pregnant wife, like, looked right at me, and I dropped the postcards and ran. I was so embarrassed. And so the photo is just this like blur of lights. I don't know. I remember at the time thinking like I probably couldn't sell it to TMZ because it was too blurry. If you have this photo, I would be so happy.
I think I do.
We gotta find it.
I
think
I
do.
I have my old phone. I just have to recharge it. It'll take like 72 hours.
I'm right now opening our text messages and seeing how far back I can go. Yeah,
and then if you want to go further back, I gauge things also by when Anna Nicole Smith died.
Oh, I remember that too. That was earlier. I was still in college. That was pre-MJ, right?
Very pre-MJ, yeah.
But it was kind of the MJ model of death. It was very similar.
That's true. Correct. And I remember it was this kid. There was this guy that I worked with. His name was Walter. And I always thought that was a tough name to have. Mm. And I was like, do you have a nickname like Walt? And he was like, no. And so I nicknamed him Dubs, like W for Walter. Yeah. So I was like, I remember like seeing him in the hallway and I was like, what up, Dubs? And he was like, Anna Nicole Smith. Dead. And I was like, what?
Walter, like, have a little tact.
I was like, Dubs, holy moly, what a delivery.
I like that, like, every 10 years or so, we kind of get, like, a little check-in on Dani Lin, you know, in, like, OK Mag or something.
Well, and she always goes to the Kentucky Derby.
She loves the Derby.
She loves that Derbs.
What was Anna Nicole Smith's real name? It was like...
Oh, good call. It was something.
It was very similar. Like, it was like Terry Lynn Morris.
Or like, yeah, like I was going to say Jody Lynn. Yeah, Anna Nicole in itself is not like that unusual of a name.
Wait, Anna Nicole.
All right, we have
Smith.
To look that up.
Her real name.
Oh,
was...
you were really close.
Wait, where is she? Oh, Vicky Lynn Hogan. Yeah, it is.
Vicky Lynn.
It's just as white trash, but just a little more wrestly.
Yeah. But Smith, I think, was a married name. Smith.
Oh, yeah.
She married someone named Smith.
Was that the old man?
No, Smith? That was Howard.
Everyone in her life's name was Howard.
It was. She had a lot of Howards in there.
She was just orbited by Howards. So when everything went wrong, like, no one could pin it on anyone because they just knew it was a Howard.
Right. And then they were like, no, not that Howard Stern.
Yeah.
The other Howard Stern. Right. So weird.
So wait, she married and, like, earned a lot of money from a very old man who she married for a short time, right?
Correct. But then his family contested the will and her inheritance. And I'm not sure she ever, I think she fought that up until she died. I don't think that ever got resolved.
Listeners, if you could go to My Favorite Burger Pod and just please let us know what happened to Anna Nicole Smith's inheritance.
Yeah.
It's keeping us up at night.
Well, because then... potentially Dani Lin could get that money.
Which I think I would love. I remember watching the Anna Nicole Smith reality show. What was it called?
Love it. It was just like Anna Nicole.
It was it just the Anna Nicole Smith show?
I think so.
She was like floating through the house on medicines.
Oh my gosh, she was so out of it. She had that woman assistant that was very androgynous.
Was he an ice skater?
No, it was a woman. Wait, why do you think somebody ice skated?
I don't know. For some reason, I'm only remembering blips of this masterful reality series. But I feel like maybe her assistant was an ice skater.
Kim.
Oh, Kim. I don't remember Kim. I remember her son, which that was so sad.
That was really sad. But she would be like, Kimmy.
Oh, Kim, I do remember that.
Kimmy. And can't find my pillowcase or something. It was always weird. Yeah, that son was really sad.
That was really sad. You just reminded, did you watch Amy Schumer's HBO documentary about her pregnancy?
No.
It's really good, but Amy Schumer's sister's name is Kim, and she teaches her dog, instead of like go pee or go poop, she calls it Kim. So she's like, do you have to go Kim? Let's go outside so you can go Kim. And she'll be like, oh my god, she just went Kim in the living room. Like, that's she so named funny. It after her sister. It's so good.
That's really funny. I would like to see that. I was a little disappointed she got all of these like fillers and liposuction. Did you read that?
But did you read about how she took them out and regretted it?
Well, the fillers, but you can't take out the liposuction.
Oh, yeah. She doesn't regret the liposuction. She's so happy about it. But she took out the fillers and regretted it.
The filler. I don't know why she would get fillers. I mean, she definitely didn't. She had, not to be rude, but she does have a full face. So she's like not a person, I think, that needed them. I think the doctor was weird. But liposuction, everything I've ever read about liposuction, so you remove the fat out of these fat pockets, and fat still has to go somewhere. So I think what happens is it actually then makes other fat pockets in your body and actually can, like, distort you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know the caps on fast food soda cups where, like, it has the circle thing that you can press to denote that it's root beer.
Right.
But then it has the rectangle thing that if you push the rectangle thing, then the root beer circle then blows back up.
Yes.
Like it becomes concave and then it unconcaves itself. It's just like that. Like you're taking liposuction out and then it's going to blip right back to the other side of the plastic on that thing.
That was the greatest analogy of liposuction I've ever heard. It works.
I just can't wait to see where Amy's next fat pocket pops up. I think she's in the economic class that can probably afford to maintain liposuction. I feel like it's going to, you know, maybe it's the type of thing you invest in where you're going to readjust all the fat pockets every couple of years.
Chasing the fat pockets.
That's a great memoir title. Chasing the fat pockets by Liz.
That is my life story. Chasing the fat pockets.
You're gonna call your editor like, is there time for a title change? I don't know about you, but there are boxes all over my apartment.
Wait, why?
Well, it's because I'm such a frequent patron of today's sponsor.
This episode of My Favorite Burger is brought to you by online shopping. From groceries to luxuries, they've got it all.
And honestly, you cannot beat the convenience. Next time you find yourself using online shopping, try entering savings code BURGER at checkout.
See what happens and enjoy.
Savings code subject to change.
Dependent on participation.
Potentially imaginary and
may no longer
be valid at time of listening.
Is saying porch pirate pejorative?
Not anymore.
When we were little, you know, we would go down to Manhattan all the time because my dad's job gave him free passes to all these museums in New York City. So he used to go all the time. And for some reason, my dad would get like really annoyed that my sister and I only wanted hot dogs with just ketchup on it. Mm. Like street
That's
hot dogs.
That's such a dad thing.
It was such a dad thing. Like he was so, the works. He wanted us to get the
Girls,
works.
You got to get the works.
Like,
yeah.
I was like 7 years old with like a hot dog with sauerkraut, caramelized onions, like spicy mustard.
And it's like all over your dress.
Yeah. It was so weird. He still gets so angry about ketchup. I don't really get it. When I went home for Christmas, I made them guamki, which is just stuffed cabbage. And I like mine with ketchup, but there's like, they don't have ketchup in their house.
Oh, I need ketchup.
He's so angry about ketchup, but I love my guamki with ketchup.
Is that an amazing pet name?
Guamki?
Guamki.
Aw, that is a cute name. If I had like a little dog, yeah. A little puppy named Guamki. Aw. Yeah. Would I spell it the way that the Polish spelling is? Because it's G-O-L-A-P-K-I.
Yes, please. Spell it that way so that everyone says it wrong.
Yeah, and so if I bring it to like doggy daycare, they're like, Glapki? And I'm like, it's Guamki. It's like this kid in elementary school had to read out loud, which I still think is like the meanest thing to do to kids. And he said Arkansas instead of Arkansas.
Good for him.
Everybody laughed at him.
He's noticing patterns.
But I kind of was like, that was pretty smart that he read it as Arkansas.
Yes.
Because it is.
It's fucked that it's Arkansas.
Yeah.
I'm a professional writer, and I don't blame anyone when they make mistakes in English. No. Because all the rules have exceptions, and they don't make sense. They're only instinctual.
Well, and I got, so when I went back to school and I got my paralegal certificate, I said, instead of appellate, I said appellate.
Yeah.
But I just like, it just came
it's
out.
It's fine.
The lawyer was the professor, and he was like, did you say appellate? And I was like, I meant appellate. You know what I mean?
And he's like, the appellate sure. What?
I was like, the apple ate your case, bitch.
When I did jury duty last year, one of the jury people who, like, we were all getting selected or not selected for the jury. Mm-hmm. It was called joie de vie. No,
it's voie dire.
Voie dire. One of them called the judge, your highness. She kept calling him your highness.
Did you just die laughing? I would have been excused. Yes, your highness.
Yes, your majesty.
Oh, so funny.
It kind of is our royalty. I mean, it's
America.
Oh, speaking of America.
It's so funny.
Today.
Last year?
Yes. How did you know?
What happened?
So, today is another momentous day. So, Liz and I want to take a look back at what happened today last year. So, today last year, the world-renowned interviewer, Larry King, passed away.
Yeah, I guess he was like a television personality journalist.
He was
a host.
Did he do news? Because I only ever saw him when he interviewed other people. Like, what I know him most for is like when he insulted Jerry Seinfeld on air.
Oh, yeah.
That was so funny. he said something like, Jerry Seinfeld is here. He was the comedian responsible for the show Seinfeld, which like ran for 10 years until it was taken off the air or something. And Seinfeld was like, excuse me, do you think our show was taken off the air? Because it was still number one and the network was still ordering more of it and I chose not to go back to work.
Snap. Yeah, I have seen that. It's
so funny.
What I think I know about Larry King, his show was on CNN. He was always like 100,000 years old
for his whole career.
Whole career.
Yeah.
And an odd looking man, smart and funny and charismatic.
He looks just like me.
No, he does not.
Like, a day does not go by where people don't make the comparison. And here you are just being like, he's odd looking. But anyway, cool.
But he was married 7 times.
Well, that's what happens to odd looking people.
Yeah. I don't know why you'd want to get married every single time. I don't even understand the first marriage.
I only understand like the fourth and fifth. Those two make sense.
I think he actually even married, divorced, and remarried another woman. Those people blow my mind.
That's like Elizabeth Taylor and Robert Burton. Is that Burton's first
Richard
name?
Richard Burton.
Yeah. They remarried. I think they got married like two or three times to each other.
Yeah. I think they got married twice also. And they had like a pretty big gap between their marriages too.
Yeah.
I listened to, if you want to listen to a really good podcast about Elizabeth Taylor, it kind of ties it all up into a bow. It's the podcast, Even the Rich.
Ooh.
And they do like a 4-part series on Elizabeth Taylor because her life is so long. I mean, she started acting when she was like 6 or something.
I'm definitely going to listen to that. That's so cool. I loved when Carrie Fisher talked about her family's connections to Elizabeth Taylor in her, I think it was in her Wishful Drinking comedy special. It was so funny.
What are their connections? I mean, well, I guess they're...
I'm going to mess this up, I think, but... Carrie Fisher.
Wait. Carrie Fisher as in Eddie Fisher's daughter?
As in from Star Wars.
Right, but Carrie Fisher's dad is Eddie Fisher, who Elizabeth Taylor married,
exactly.
Right?
Okay. So Carrie Fisher's dad married Elizabeth Taylor after divorcing Carrie Fisher's mom, I think.
Correct. Right.
But I also think that Carrie Fisher's mom, Debbie Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
and Carrie Fisher's dad... Eddie Fisher
mm-hmm.
also had very colorful Hollywood relationships in the tabloid or in the headlines and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah. It's a really interesting story. I don't remember all the details.
Well, if you want to, so they go into this pretty deep. So
ooh, I'm definitely listening.
So Elizabeth Taylor's husband died and he was Eddie Fisher's best friend.
Oh, yes.
So they, yeah.
I kind of remember that. Oh, my God.
And then she, like, married her best friend's husband.
But one of them was gay. Her best friend's... Oh, no. Carrie Fisher's husband was gay. Carrie Fisher, Billy Lord's dad.
Oh, right. Yes, that's right.
I think came out as gay and divorced Carrie Fisher after raising Billy together. You know what is weird, though? Speaking of today, last year, Larry King dying, is that also today, another year, Johnny Carson died 16 years ago today. So Johnny Carson and Larry King, two of the most famous white men, interviewing the most famous white men. Share a death anniversary.
That is weird. Johnny Carson. I didn't really know Johnny. He was way before me.
Yeah. He was way before me. All I knew about him was like a lot of famous comedians mentioned him as like an inspiration or like mentioned him as giving them their first shot at stardom.
Yeah.
Like Ellen DeGeneres and people. And
I think Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld and Joan Rivers.
Because
Joan Rivers, like, took over hosting his show. And was, like, the first woman to host late night or something, which also might not be a fact.
No, I think that is a fact. Because I think she had a daytime talk show, but I think she did try to do a late night talk show as well.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? Like, now it doesn't even matter. Like, what even is a late show versus an early show? We're all just watching things at different times.
I know.
Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in. Take a deep breath out. Take a deep breath, like half in, half out. Close your eyes. Are you picturing it?
Picturing what?
It's the end of a long, productive day.
Okay, yep, I got it.
There's nothing left to do except get a good night's sleep on the most comfortable sheets in the world.
The ones from all those other podcasts? We can't afford them.
Well, today's episode of My Favorite Burger is brought to you by Brooklinens. They're cheap, they're comfy, and they're eco-friendly.
So, like, getting Z's without spending G's?
Exactly. Plus, a percentage of all of their profits goes directly to charity. Savings code BURGER.
Wow, we can finally rest easy and cheap.
Sleep woke and don't go broke with Broke Linens. Savings code subject to change. Ended up to be potentially imaginary and may no longer valid at time of listening. What's your favorite burger?
Oh, that question. My favorite burger is the Super Bowl halftime show promo video that came out.
I did not see this. Walk me through it.
Got it. I watched it like six times. So the halftime show performers are Eminem, Snoop Dogg,
what?
Mary J. Blige,
what?
Dr. Dre.
Wow.
I know.
Wait, that's such an amazing lineup.
I know. And it is so nostalgic. It made me feel, in the beginning, Eminem is out, it almost like a rap war with his current self and the old Slim Shady. But I listened to a lot of gangster rap growing up. The mean streets of Poughkeepsie. The town of Poughkeepsie. Even better.
Straight out of Poughkeepsie.
Yeah. But I was like, please play Tupac, please stay, because they play like a Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, and then they all like meet together to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they play Tupac's California. California. Yeah. Anyway, it was awesome, and I can't wait. I'm sincerely super psyched for the Super Bowl show.
I love the halftime show.
I know, I do too. And I'm not a huge Jennifer Lopez fan, to be honest. Yeah. I just never have. I mean, like, Waiting for Tonight was like awesome in 1999. But I'm always confused by Jennifer Lopez.
Because she's so excellent at everything she does.
But then I don't know what she is. Like, what is she? Is she just an entertainer?
I think first and foremost, she's an entertainer, dancer, performer who can kind of sing and act.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you're right. Because she can do it all, but not necessarily all really, really, really well.
I love everything she's in. And I do like, I agree with you on that. I don't understand how there are like huge J-Lo fans.
Yeah.
But I love everything she's in. So maybe that's why it is. She's like above mediocre at everything. So you see her in so many things and you're like, oh, she's good at that. She's good at that. Maybe I am a fan.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I bought the entire J-Glo face product line.
I was going to say, I can tell you are glowing.
But I'm not joking. I really did buy it all.
That J-Lo glow.
I went through it. I never rebought it because I think it was making me break out a little bit. But
break out into a lucrative entertainment career.
Song and dance, yeah.
Break out into Let's Get Loud.
But I did like her halftime show, and I did like I did like Shakira. So was that last year's? Is that the most recent one, or did
that
I miss
was
someone?
The most recent one? And I hated all the controversy over like neither one of them deserve to share a stage with the other one. Like they should get their own show. It's like, first of all, let them have an awesome show together, and second of all, like, I'm pretty sure at most of the Super Bowl halftime shows, it's more than just, even when it's just one person headlining it, they have like special guests and stuff. So chill.
Well, yes. And I also don't think separately they have enough hits. Like Katy Perry and Lady Gaga.
Right. And Beyonce.
And Beyonce. Yeah. I mean, like, they have a million hits. So you can do that. And you know, the one I thought was kind of like, was Justin Timberlake. So I'm like, I don't know if he has enough hits.
Maroon
to do it.
5. I mean, we've talked, I don't think it ended up on the podcast, but you and I have talked about how Maroon 5 is kind of sometimes hard to like and sometimes they're great.
Yes.
Their halftime show was horrible. Maybe they have enough hits, Maroon 5, but they don't have enough like upbeat, like stadium hits.
Right, 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 right.
Like
right.
She Will or Be like, Loved for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yes. You're right. Yeah. That is really funny. But yeah, anyway, I think this is going to be a phenomenal halftime show.
Yeah, that sounds like such a good lineup and such a good way to break the the trend of what they've been doing. It's been mostly pop acts for a long time.
Right, right.
So I'm really excited to jump back into some like classic rap. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I love Eminem. My dad and I used to listen to him secretly in the car when we would drive places because my mom hated that we like had the album, let alone liked it. So we would like get in the car and my dad would be like, guess what CD is in?
Oh my God. We listened, was it Chronic 2001? Was that the name of the album?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that after the next episode? Like, is that the next episode?
That is the next episode, I think. Yeah. It was so good. We listened to that. I was like the middle of college, and we had like a CD boombox that we put in like the bathroom, and yes, we would like blast that. We were such meanies. We like didn't even care about the other people on the floor. I was like, listen to Dr. Dre 2001 Chronic.
Oh my God, that's so fun.
Well, anyway, something to look forward to. All right, yeah. Zach, what's your favorite burger?
So my favorite burger, I love that burger, and I'm so excited. I can't believe a football fanatic like me missed that announcement.
I know. You are so into the sport.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to catch up on my sport news. but yeah, I'm so excited for that show. My favorite burger this week is another documentary. So my burger could have actually just been this person or anything that this person has worked on I've pretty much loved. But I'm choosing this documentary because this was the first thing that introduced me to one of my favorite public figures, if you will. You know how sometimes on Netflix or Hulu or whatever your preferred streaming service is, you need to find something to start late at night to just fall asleep to? And it's kind of sometimes a hard thing to find because it has to be something like good enough that it doesn't bore you, but like not so good that if you fall asleep to it, you'll be like pissed you didn't finish it.
Right, right.
So I was looking.
Or has like blood curdling screams in it that wake you up.
Some people fall asleep to that. that's my white noise. No.
That's your ASMR.
That's my asthma. So I was looking for something just literally to fall asleep to because I needed to pass out. And on Netflix, it was like, you might like, and then it just had three letters. T-I-G, TIG. Okay. And at this point in time, a lot of people will know what that means. But at this point, I think it was 2014 or 2015. And those three letters didn't mean anything to me. Like, I was just like, TIG? Okay. I'm going to put this on. Like, it doesn't sound like it's about anything. So I'll just pass out to TIG. So TIG ended up being a documentary that not only kept my attention and I did not fall asleep, but it became one of my favorite documentaries about one of my favorite people. And it's a documentary about TIG Notaro, who by now is a very famous comedian. At the time, she was a relatively unknown comedian who had a documentary made about her life story and her struggles. I want to leave certain things vague, but yeah, it just kind of showed a lot of different aspects of a certain time frame in her life where she went through a ton of struggles, and her comedic outlook on life throughout the entire debacle is just so inspiring. And so TIG, the documentary on Netflix, is my favorite burger. I recommend everyone watching it. Trigger warnings, like there are things about cancer and infertility.
I was going to say, this is very stepmom.
Yes, this is adjacent. Very stepmom. Yes, it is very stepmom adjacent. There are cancer stories and infertility stories going on in this documentary. So if that triggers you, stay away from it. But it is a beautiful story of overcoming some of that stuff. And you get to meet or learn more about TIG Notaro, who is just so funny.
Oh, I can't wait to watch it. You know, I love a documentary.
Yes.
Interesting. I'm surprised I didn't watch it because I went through a big TIG hole.
Yeah, I love TIG
holes. A while ago. I can't wait. I'll definitely check that out because I like her a lot and I think she's so funny. And yeah, she's been through a freaking mess of stuff.
She went through a ton of stuff. And it's just not only is she just hilarious, in my opinion, but it's also just inspiring to see someone make their way through such challenging times. And I think especially since 2020 happened, I think hopefully that can be like a really positive message for people to take away.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, such a good movie. Don't put it on if you're just looking for something to fall asleep to.
No. If my mom had named my sister and me weird names, that would be fine because her name's kind of weird. Her name's Shailene, so it's just a different name. By the way, my mom hates Shailene Woodley so much. Like, she didn't pick her name. Like, yeah, like, she hates her for having, like, her name.
Oh, my God.
And it's spelled differently.
One of my favorite anecdotes that Tig Notaro told was that she was talking to Reese Witherspoon during when Reese Witherspoon was filming Big Little Lies with Shailene Woodley.
Uh-huh.
And Tig doesn't know any famous people. And so Reese was talking to Tig being like, oh, it's kind of weird on set sometimes when we do fittings because I'm so short. I'm like, you know, 4'11". And like, I'm with Laura Dern, who's like 5'10". I'm with so-and-so, who's almost 6 foot. And then I'm with Nicole Kidman, who's 5'10". But Shailene's 5'9". And Tig goes, oh, I used to date a girl who hunched over a lot when she would walk around. And like Reese and Tig's wife were like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, she was listing everyone's heights and saying she was short. And you just were like, yeah, I know someone who used to hunch. And so Tig didn't realize that Shailene was a name. She thought Nicole Kidman was like 5'11", but she leans 5'8". And so she was like, yeah, my ex-girlfriend used to hunch. It's so good.
She leans.
We might be misrepresenting a lot of this, but I think at least we're touching on the important details.
Yeah. If you want to fact check us, go for it.